Father. Father God, we do praise you and we thank you for your precious son, Jesus, that died on the cross for us. And Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. We thank you, Father, that you do have a plan and a purpose for them in their life. And Father God, we thank you that they'll fulfill that plan. They'll fulfill that purpose. We thank you, Father, that you have wonderful things for them. And they'll be able to accomplish each and every one of those things. Father God, we thank you today as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the life of each and every one of us. And Father God, help us to be able to take that word that we hear, that word that we learn, and share it with others and be a blessing to them, Father. Father, we thank you for revival to this generation, revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you today as we go to minister your word. We thank you that we come not in our own strength, not in our own might, not in our own authority, but your strength, your might, and your authority. And we thank you, Father, as we minister today, that they won't see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way. And Father God, we thank you that Holy Spirit will help us to minister the uncompromised word of God with all boldness. And we just give you the praise, honor, and glory for it. And we thank you for everything you have done, everything you are doing, and everything you will do. And in Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. He's always a good God. Even whenever, you know, one way to get over a so-called bad day, there shouldn't be a bad day. Now, really, that's a misnomer, you know, for a Christian to say, well, I'm having a bad day, it's because you didn't wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. You know, if the Lord's made a day for you, it's not a bad day. In fact, as you get older, the fact that you wake up makes it a good day. Amen? Amen. You know, sometimes that we gripe about how bad we have it, but you know what? You have a lot better than a lot of other folks that we don't even realize how bad we have it until we see other folks that are less fortunate than us. And I'm thinking, man, I really have it pretty good, you know, because I serve a good God. Amen? Amen. Well, I hope everyone's enjoying or at least staying out of the weather. I mean, it's been pretty hot outside, you know. Anyone noticed? I've noticed it's a little hot. I'm going to actually talk a little about my weekend because it actually ties into my sermon. I've kind of had a busy weekend this weekend. I went to the Kansas City Royals game on Friday night, and then on Saturday, actually, we went up to Kansas City with our young adult ministry there from Broken Arrow. I'm over that, and we decided to take a trip to go to Worlds of Fun. They left a little later because, you know, people have to work, and so they left after work. You know, people like me that play hooky on Friday sometimes. I left early, so I caught the Kansas City Royals game and with my sons, and then we met all the folks there at the fine hotel and had a great time fellowshipping. And then, you know, yesterday we went to Worlds of Fun, got there early, were there in the hot weather. And, you know, it's always a lot of fun at Worlds of Fun because they say it's fun, you know. So, I was actually really excited because that morning, now most people don't get excited when they're going to go to the theme park and it rains, but I was pretty excited because now I knew the rain was going to pass by us before we actually were going to go to the theme park, but I was pretty excited. I'm thinking, great, it's going to cloud over. It's not going to be hot because it's been really hot around here. And so I'm thinking, oh man, this is awesome. And you know, for an hour or so it was cool, then all of a sudden the sun came out. And in fact, at one time, I actually have a temperature on my phone that talks about how hot my phone gets, and I guess it's black. Well, it's also white, so depending on, you know, it's black and white, it's either way. But at one time, I looked down on it, and it gave me the outside temperature of, you know, it was only 90-something, it's 100-something, it's 100 degrees right now, according to this. But it says right now, it says, oh, no, that's 68%. Right now, it says it's 81.3 on my phone or whatever. Anyway, I looked down one time, it was 106.9. I'm like, that's pretty hot. Now, I actually probably felt like I like it was 115 on the inside of my body, but, you know, it's hot. Now, I don't know how much fun you can have in 115-degree heat index waiting in line, you know, for a thrill ride. Now, you know, the funny part about it, they call them thrill rides because they only last 2 minutes. And you have a thrill, then you wait 2 hours for the next one. So you can, you know, and so, but it is, you know, we had a good time. And then drove home, you know, Tulsa last, you know, go home about 1 a.m. and preached this morning in Broken Arrow and preached tonight here and drove here and driving back tonight. So it's been a pretty busy weekend, but God's a good God. Amen. And it's not like almost every weekend has been busy for me, so it doesn't really matter. I mean, we're driving, racing, doing something anyway. But really, my message tonight, I don't normally preach the same message Sunday morning as Sunday night, but I decided to because it really comes from the theme park. You know, you can preach about anything. And it comes as a result of some of the newer things. One of the newest things that they have in theme parks is back in 1999, actually, Walt Disney World actually introduced a thing called the Fast Pass, and other theme parks have got something similar. And it's a way for people to pay a little more money and bypass the line. Or bypass majority of the line, and so and from a business standpoint, it makes a lot of sense because you don't pay any more employees, you don't have to run the rides in anymore. All you do is you get people that volunteer to pay more to not wait in line. So the only people that might get a little upset is people that got bypassed in line. But you know, once it became a trend and theme in the theme park, everyone kind of got used to it. So really makes them wait longer. Anyway, so this is what happened was I was waiting in line for the first roller coaster that we were going to ride for the day, and it was called the Patriot, you know, because it, you know, made me real patriotic whenever you ride that. Some of you are not may or may not be roller coaster fanatics. I am. I like roller coasters, and it's one of those that your feet dangle. You know, when you're strapped in like here, and your feet dangle. Anyone ever been on one of those or whatever, you know, does all kinds of different loops and things. And, you know, it's thrilling for like 2.5 minutes and then it's over. So I'm waiting for that ride. And I don't know how long the line was. How long was it, Jesse? Was it like 2 hours, an hour and a half? I don't know. He was so busy, he didn't even notice them. So because he was having so much fun because it was Worlds of Fun, you know, so... If you don't have fun at Worlds of Fun, then you know, then it wouldn't be titled right. It would be like Worlds of Wait, which was probably a better title for it. Anyway, so me and my youngest son and our minister of music, Rich King, we were waiting there in line for a while. It kind of went, you know, how they have those little cattle gates or whatever you want to call them. You go this way and then that way and this way and that way and this way. Well, it went about three ways, you know, and all of a sudden, boom, here comes a bunch of the kids from our group. Actually happened to be one of my sons and two of his sons and a couple more folks. And they just come in the little line over here and go right by us and wave and smile and, you know, because they paid extra money. Now, see, interesting part about this whole group of people, that they're all that they all have jobs and they all live at home. So you know, see, we have a lot of folks who came on our group. I mean, they were just scraping to get there. I mean, they were just happy to be able to get there, and you know, but all these kids all live at home, so they all have plenty of money. A lot of them are in school, but they're working for the summer, so they raised all this money. So they came already, ready to you know, bypass the line, and so we all looked at that, and I'm like, you know, I don't want to wait for an hour and a half. And so now their little VIP or you know, line bypassing is called the fast lane. So my message tonight is life in the fast lane. You know, nobody likes it whenever they're waiting forever and you know, as a Christian, sometimes, you know, we're sitting around waiting, and all these other people, they're getting blessed, and they're going right by us, and sometimes we feel, you know, anyone ever been like that? I mean, you know, you've watched everybody else, and it just seems like, man, that you know, everything else happens for everybody else, but it doesn't happen for me. Now, see, what happens a lot of times when people in the fast lane bypass us sometimes or go right on by, what normally happens is people that are waiting start complaining. Do you realize that? We start complaining how bad it is. Or we start making excuses. You know, do you know that Christians are kings of excuses? Or queens, if I guess, you know, king or queen. I mean, we make so many excuses, you know. Well, you know, I didn't start coming to church until I was 28. So, I mean, they've been going to church all their life. So that's why God blesses them more. Or I guess God just likes them more. Or I had bad parents. They didn't really teach me very well. Or you know, I just can't afford that. You know, or that mean, you know, I can't, you know. Now, here's the funny part about it. As Christians, now, see, my mom, if you have a mom like mine, you actually change your vocabulary. Now, you know, see, my parents raised me, I also work for my parents, and, you know, many times that there are things that mom or dad want to do, and so, and I'll walk in and I'll say, well, we can't do that. But the Bible says you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. So I found out I can't use the word we can't do that. So I've actually developed a few other words as we can do that, but it might be quite expensive. Do you want me to see how much it's going to cost? I mean, you know, and stuff. And I mean, I always point out that you know, that we have a Bible school there in Broken Arrow. And actually, I am one of the co-writers of the alma mater, which is really interesting thing how that happened. How that happened is we had one of our guys who actually worked for us, and that's what he did was write and stuff. And so he wrote, we wanted to get a new alma mater. We didn't have an alma mater for the school. We actually used a song that was written for some other reason. But we mom says, I want to write an alma mater that's about Rhema, about our school. And so we got this gentleman to write it for us, and he wrote some things that the Lord had for him, you know, that he turned it in, and I handed it to mom, and I had actually a tape at the time. You know, we don't have tapes anymore. You know, many of you remember the 8-track tape. This was actually a cassette tape. You know, but now nobody has tapes. No, nobody even has CDs hardly anymore now. It's all, everything's digital. We're living in a digital age. Everything's digital, and you buy computers. You know, you can't even put used to we had floppy disk, and then we had disks that weren't too floppy, but they still called them floppy disk, and now we don't have any disk at all. But at least we don't have any disk problems, by the way. So anyway, I played the cassette for mom, and she goes, "Well, that sounds like a pretty good start, but you know, that's not, you know, that's a good chorus, but we need more." And so I sent it back to the guy, and I said, you know, well, take another month, you know, pray about it, get more. So a month later, he gives it back to me, because, Craig, I just can't come up with it anymore. So I walk in, I said, we can't come up with it anymore. And my mom says, well, I think we need more, and, you know, these are some things that I want the song to say. And I'm, like, looking at her, like, okay, what am I supposed to do with those things? He goes, well, you're gonna write the song, or someone's gonna write the song. So you better write the stuff down. So I'm like, okay. Wrote down all the things that she wanted, and I went to a couple other folks, and I said, we're going to complete this song, and these are things mom wants in the song. So I helped co-write the alma mater, even though I'm not really a songwriter. You know, I write the songs that nobody sings. You know, but anyway. So, but you can do all things through Christ. You know, there's nothing you can't do. And obviously that, you know, we all have talents and abilities we don't even know we have. You know, some of us have untapped talents and abilities. And even when we think that we couldn't do it, the greater one lives on the inside of us. So there is no way you can't do it. There is no way you can't go into the fast lane. It's just that we limit ourselves. Right. You know, because we want to make, it's easier to make an excuse than it is to do something about it. Now, what we need to do is when somebody seemingly is passing us up, they're in the fast lane, and you seem like you're in the slow boat, or the, you know, maybe, well, in this case, you're in the line. You weren't even in the boat. You're in the line for the boat. Now, I kind of joked this morning, and sometimes, you know, we just get in the line, and we kind of wait our turn because people start lining up. Do you realize that? In fact, my grandfather always says, it's interesting in the Christian world, they'll line up for anything. And in fact, he said, to prove his point, one time he was ministering, and he said, all y'all that want to go to hell, line up over here. And people actually got out of their seat and started lining up. Now, it wasn't because they wanted to go to hell. They just didn't listen. They just saw two or three other people standing up and said, well, I wasn't paying attention. I'm gonna go get in line too, you know, go get a special blessing. I guess that was a curse line, not a blessing line. But anyways, he said people line up. And so a lot of times, you know, the reason that we don't get in the fast lane, the reason is we line up is because we don't think that we're able to get in the fast lane. We don't think that you know, well, maybe God doesn't love me enough. No, the Bible says that nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing that you can do to make God not love you anymore. I mean, remember, Jesus loved you this much. He loved you this much. Do you realize, and I was thinking about this, you know, as Anthony, you know, we had some great worship time this, you know, tonight, amen. As he was singing, you know, and then actually as Greg was even, you know, talking about, well, if there's any other way, you know, let this cup pass for me. You realize that Jesus's whole divine purpose in life was to come to redeem you. You know, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But you know what? His son so loved the world that he's willing to go. Amen. He was willing to go and willing to sacrifice, although he said, Lord, if there be another way, you know, maybe it would be a lot easier. And God said, there is no other way. You are the way. But he was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to do it. You know, and actually, you know, we see, speaking of types and shadows, in the Old Testament, remember when God promised Abraham a son and God gave him his son? And then God told him to sacrifice, but he was willing to do it. And he told his son the whole time, when he said, well, where's the ram or lamb or whatever, you know, it says, and Abraham just said, well, God will provide. God will provide. Now, God provided. He didn't have to sacrifice his son, but he was willing to do whatever because he loved God that much. You know, and I was just thinking in line with different things in life, and as a lot of you know, that we have our little granddaughter that we're raising at home, and, you know, look at him. I just love her so much. I've been thinking about that God loves me more than I can even love my granddaughter. God loves me more, and you know, it's awesome how much God loves us. Now, but what happens when people start passing you by? You need to do what we did. We developed a plan to get in the fast lane because we were, you know, trying to figure out how much it actually cost them. And, you know, now none of us wanted to pay the price. And sometimes, you know, we didn't really want to pay more, but we also didn't want to wait. So see, basically they know that. In fact, the way World of Fun, because World of Fun, you know, they're such good people, is certain days it's not as crowded. The fast lane passes are cheaper because they know you're not going to, you know, but the days that are more crowded, they actually hike the price up. So interesting concept. It's a lot of supply and demand. And now with most parks, you know, they only have to have a limited number of fast lane passes or whatever they are, so that way that everyone can't get one. So that makes you special. So once you get the pass and they put a little wristband, you become special. All right? And all you have to do is you walk in and you show your wristband and you get a walk on up and get right up to the front of the line, and which is, it's pretty awesome, but it comes with the price. Now, so what we decided is, well, let's develop a plan and figure out how we're going to do this. So we found out that the more you buy, the cheaper it gets. So since we have a lot of friends at Worlds of Fun, all having fun in line, we decided to go talk to a few other folks and find out how many other folks might want to get one of those passes. So we end up saving like $10 over the cost it would have cost us only by three. All right. And so we... But you know what? Just because you develop a plan, you have to decide to do the plan. At some point in time, we decided we're going to get out of line and go do this. So we got out of line, went and found the other people after they rode a ride. Now, bought the passes, jumped in the fast lane ride, You know, and this took a little while because, you know, we had to wait in line to buy the things, all the stuff. Came back, got in line, and still beat the people who were in line with us. So we were able to do that, which was our plan, was to beat them because, you know, so then we could laugh at them as we go by. But, you know, see, we developed a plan to get out of the slow lane into the fast lane. You know, a lot of times that folks never develop a plan. Now, sometimes, you know, in this situation, we had the wherewithal and the finances to go ahead and do it now. But, you know, sometimes you can't do it right now, but at least develop a plan for the future. Develop a plan. You know what? I'm going to get out of this line. You know, I'm tired of being bypassed. Now, like I said, one thing happens when people start walking by, a lot of folks look at you pretty angrily, you know, or look at you like, well, I guess you just have lots of money, don't you? Or I wouldn't pay extra money, you know, to not wait in line. And a great thing about theme parks, you have plenty of time for fellowship, and, you know, because all you can do is wait. You know, and actually I've found out, you know, one thing too, this is a tip, you might, if you ever go to a theme park with some of your kids or grandkids or other relatives, you know, realizing nowadays we don't talk to people, so we get on our phone, and we talk to people around the world, you know, on Facebook or whatever, and if you're going to be at a theme park all day long, your battery will die eventually. So what happened was, is whenever they were ready to go home, some of the folks that were on the bus didn't have, their phones weren't working, so they couldn't get them, so please, you know, conserve battery life. I mean, you know, if you want to talk to your friends around the world for a while, fine, but eventually, you know, make sure you turn the phone off at some point in time. Talk to the people around about you. But, you know, it's an interesting concept. Whenever our turn was to go to get in our fast lane and go by, I had a number of folks that actually stopped me and said, well, how much do those things cost? See, they were developing a plan. Now, in order to develop a plan, you got to figure out, you know, what's the cost and what's the, you know, the things. And so, you know, I could have just told them the actual cost, but I said, well, this is the cost, but if you can get five or more people, it's going to go down more, $10 more and stuff. And so, well, that's good to know. I mean, you know, they were happy to know that. I don't know if they what they did because I didn't sit around to watch. I had to go have thrills on the thrill ride. But the main thing is, when it seems that other folks are going by us in the fast lane, develop a plan to get yourself in the fast lane. You know, because it's a whole lot easier to enjoy life in the fast lane than it is in the slow lane. You know, it's so much more fun. All right, but we also have to understand that God is no respecter of persons. Do you realize that? Because some people think when people, this seems that all their needs get met, everything works fine for them. Now, I will say this, when it comes to ministers, a lot of times they don't tell the complete truth. I'm just going to be honest in this situation. A lot of times, and it's not because they want to, you know, they want to present them being better. They just don't want to, a lot of times they don't want to show where they've had some negative things that happen or whatever. In fact, it's interesting, whenever they interview some of these, you know, movie stars or other people in the entertainment industry and said, well, you're an overnight sensation. And I've heard, and one guy, he was like, you know, 30-something years old, and he goes, yeah, but I've been working at this for 18 years to become an overnight sensation. You know, it just, somebody found out about him, and all of a sudden, boom, he became the hot person, you know, but it wasn't overnight. It didn't happen overnight. But God is no respecter of persons. Over in, if you have your Bibles, over in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 36, and reading from the King James Version, is that Peter came up, you know, figured this out, you know, because at one time they thought that this gospel was only for the Jewish community. But he found out that God doesn't just love the Jews, he loves everybody. And so in this situation, he was actually at Cornelius' house, and he says right here, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.
But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which was sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus, the Lord, he is Lord of all. So that word that God gave Israel is also for other folks as well. And we have to understand that the words that we read in the Bible are for us. Now, my grandfather always said, is the Bible is God's word speaking to me. And we have to understand that as we read these words, that you know what, Jesus, gave us these things, or other the other writers, gives us these for us to be able to use now. It's interesting that things that were spoken 2,000 years ago, can be applied now. You know, we have to apply what we read. You know, and I've heard a lot of folks used to tell me and said, well, I just wish I could have the faith of Brother Hagin. That would be so awesome. And, if you think about this, if some of you know the story about my grandfather, his greatest miracle in his life happened whenever he was a 17-year-old kid and knew really nothing about faith. He just got a hold of the word. In fact, I know, especially you that have been coming here for a long time, I've known you've heard enough faith messages that you know a whole lot more than he knew. But God met him at where he was. And God will meet you where you are. And, the Bible says if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, which is really, really itty small, that you can move a mountain. So how much faith do you need to change your life? It's not that you don't have enough faith. It's that you don't know how to act on the faith that you have. Because we all have the same faith. Jesus died on the cross for all of us. Texas, he died on the cross for you all. Yeah. Or y'all. All right. Anyway, the NLT translation says it this way. It says, then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. Or you could say this, everybody's God's favorite. I know my wife has that mentality, well, I'm God's favorite. But you know what? She's not the only one that's God's favorite. We're all God's favorite children. It's not that God's going to say, well, I'm going to bless you more than you because I like you better. No, God blesses us all. Even if we don't sneeze. The reason I say that, because whenever you sneeze, people always say, God bless you. In fact, I think that might be the only time people actually even say the word God or bless. Interesting things. I think about a lot of stuff in my life. Like, why do people say God bless you when you sneeze? I'll take that, I'll take the blessing, but why? You're not even spiritual. Why would you say God bless me? Anyway, interesting. It goes on and says, in every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what's right. This is a message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. But it's the message that came to Israel, but that message is not just for Israel. It was for the Gentiles as well. Amen. And so we need to understand that God loves us all. And he wants us all to be in the fast lane. He doesn't want us to be, many people say, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. No, God's waiting on you to step up. Amen. You don't have to wait on the Lord. Well, I'm tearing here. I'm just waiting on God to show up. Do you realize that God's already showed up? Wherever you are, God showed up. In fact, the Bible is clear on this. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If he'll never leave you nor forsake you, he doesn't have to show up. What happens is we have to understand he's present. And see, here's what happens. Because we're waiting for him to show up, we're not speaking anything. We're not talking to him because we don't think he's here. Well, when he shows up, I'm going to talk to him. I understand a lot of times, someone says, well, as soon as they get here, I'm going to talk to those folks. I've told them, people said, well, when you take care of them, as soon as they get here. Well, but Jesus is already there. And in fact, the Bible says even whenever we're not a Christian, that he stands at the door and keeps knocking. So he's there waiting on us to open the door. Even when we're yet saved, not even saved, he's still there. Amen. He's there all the time. And so you know what? If we get that concept, it's hard to get lonely. Now the reason we get lonely a lot of times we get depressed is because we don't feel God's presence. Because we all go by feelings. You know, but it's not about feelings, it's about knowings. You know, it's interesting because we've all been there. We've all been in church at certain times. We just get this awesome feeling. Anyone ever been there? But you know what? Just because you don't have an awesome feeling doesn't mean God's not present. It just means you don't realize he is. And you can get that awesome feeling at your home. And, you know, you can turn a terrible feeling into an awesome feeling if you just understand that God is present and he's ready, willing, and able to minister to you 24/7, 365, or happen to be a leap year, 366 days that year, he is there to minister to you. He's always there. You know, you can't run from God, so why do you even try? You know, we need to learn at a young age, and a lot of us aren't young anymore, you know, but we need to teach our, I mean, we can't run from God. You know, a lot of folks, you know, they're running from God, and you're like, well, why try? You know, I mean, you can't play hide and go seek with God because he's always going to find you. It's interesting, sometimes we think, well, we'll go hide in the hole and God's not going to find us. He knows where you are. In fact, he knew where you're going to go before you even went there. You know, the problem is we can't comprehend God, but we also can't comprehend his love. We can't comprehend how much he cares about us and how much that God really desires for us to get on the fast track with him in the fast lane. And for us not to be waiting around, you know, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord, that, you know, that one of these days that something's going to happen. In fact, we have a lot of Christians, and I know, you know, even some of the old time, you know, Pentecostal songs and stuff, where they're waiting that one day they're going to make it to heaven and it's all going to be good then. And that's fine. I mean, it's going to be an awesome time, but, you know, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so it means I can go to worlds of fun and have fun. Because Jesus, he came and he died on the cross to give you the power and authority to have a good life. Amen. To be able to come against the devil. To be able to resist the devil. To give you all authority. You know, and but we have to understand that he's always there. And it's not like he's gonna say, well, no, you can't have that. You know, if I always, whenever I see people getting blessed, and, you know, a lot of times people, what happens a lot of times when someone gets blessed, other Christians get mad. Well, they got blessed and I didn't. You know, I developed a few years ago the next mentality. If someone else kind of got blessed, you know what? Well, I'm the next one that's going to get a new car. I'm the next one that's going to get a new house. I'm the next one that's going to get a good financial blessing. But you know what? I quit calling next and started calling now. Because sometimes when next is out in the future, but faith is now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, you know, not seen. So I can call things that be not as though they are. So I'm going to quit calling next. I'm going to call now. I'm going to have that blessing now. Now, why am I not, you know, getting it? It's because I don't understand how much God wants to bless me. And because, you know, quite frankly, because the devil's a liar. Do you realize the reason that we don't understand how good God is? Because the devil tries to tell us that well, God doesn't care about you as much. You haven't been a good Christian. You know, all kinds of things like that. But see, we have to understand, you know, that God provides more than enough for us. The El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. Or, definition is the almighty, all-sufficient God. So whatever you need, he is. He provides. And he's ready, willing, and able to do that. And he's not just an El Shaddai Old Testament God. He's the El Shaddai God of today. Amen. You know, some people, you know, we read the miracles that take place in the Bible, whether they're in the Old Testament or the New Testament. I mean, you know, a lot of times we think about some of the things in the Old Testament, some of the old Bible stories, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, how they are thrown in the fiery furnace, you know, turned seven times hotter. I mean, it's interesting. The fact of the matter is the people who threw them in died. But they didn't die. They survived because God is God. You know, and the king looked in and said, didn't I throw three guys in there? There's four people, and one of them looks like the Son of God. You know, it's interesting that the king even noticed what the Son of God looked like. Isn't that kind of interesting about it? See, maybe I read things that you don't read. I always think about that, you know, I go beyond the pages. How did he, you know, did were there pictures of Jesus back then, you know, the long hair and stuff like that? So King Nebuchadnezzar, he had to read, because that looks like the picture on my wall. I was over at John's house eating the other day. He had one of those pictures. That's him. That's Jesus, the Son of God. No, I mean, you know, it was. I believe that if when you see now this, you know, it was so awesome. He knew it wasn't human. Amen. You know, but I mean, you know, there were three humans in there. They were all walking around in the fire. You know. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, come on out here. And then it's interesting, you know, how he changed his tune. Or we read about Daniel and the lions, and we think about that. That is an incredible, you know. And or we read about the miracles that Jesus performed, you know, about, you know, feeding the 5,000. They said up to 5,000 men. It didn't even really include the women and children with five loaves of bread and a couple of fish. I mean, that's, and had all kinds of food left over. You can't even feed your own family with that little. You know, but you know what? God is a God who's more than enough. He's able to take whatever you have and turn it into enough. Now, here's the thing about it is, we don't realize that our God wants to bless us more. The Bible says more than we can ask or think. Well, you know, these folks have a good imagination. That's incredible. He wants to bless us more than I can think. So that's pretty awesome. Now, why aren't people blessed more than you can think? Because you don't believe it. You know, a lot of times we don't really believe that these things could have happened. In fact, a lot of times there is a problem with the newer generation and, you know, a trying to differentiate between real Bible stories and fairy tales and nursery rhymes and things that are fake. Because we're like, well, that really couldn't have happened. How did that happen? But it's because our God is. All right. I mean, we serve the pressed down, shaken together, and running over God. Now, over in James, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask, and he's going to give it to you liberally. He's going to give you plenty of wisdom. So never say, I'm not smart enough, because God's, I mean, he specifically says, if you lack wisdom, ask. But I believe that you know, that it would be okay, because the Bible says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do that. So I can say whatever. If any of you lack finances, ask, and I'll give it to you liberally. Now, here's the deal. You know, there are a lot of folks at Worlds of Fun that day, but a lot of the folks came with us, actually, you know, they were young adults, and you know, so they had to believe God to raise their money, some of them, to even come on the trip. You know what? But they don't understand that God could have blessed them more than just the ticket to go and money for the hotel and food. He could have blessed them with enough for a fast lane pass too. But you know what? We just ask for enough. In fact, I found out that most Christians are okay with almost enough. Do you realize that we're okay with it? I mean, you know, I've talked to folks, you know, maybe they're raising money for a missions trip or whatever, and they're like, you know what, I raised all but $300, and then that's not bad to only put $300 in, but you know what, I think that we serve a God that could have actually gave not only enough, but more than enough to go. But when you get satisfied with almost enough, you're not going to get more than enough because you're satisfied with what you have. And I believe that we should be thankful for what we have, but realizing that God wants to do more. But just because he wants to do more, we have to also let him do more. You know what? I always tell God, I'm ready, willing, and able to take whatever blessings you want, and I'll take them my way, whatever you want to do. And I have a story that's actually, in my best-selling book, the only book I've ever written, Poder de Dios, The Power of God, available in English and Spanish. I don't know Spanish. In fact, I had some folks, now I don't know if this is a good thing, bad thing, or this I'm just stupid or whatever. I had some folks say, you know what, we really like how you are and how simple it is. We're actually teaching our young kids how to read by reading your book. I'm like, well, I was a kid, I would read, see Dick run, see Jane run, see Dick and Jane run, see Spot run. I mean, I didn't read my book. So I'm like, well, I want to learn Spanish. I'm going to read my book in Spanish and, put the English book now, Spanish book there. I still don't know Spanish, but I can order at Taco Bueno. I do know a little bit of Espanol, but not a lot, and only un peu français, just a little bit. Like, como tal, how are you? I know a little bit of Portuguese, and I could actually all put them together, and it's interesting language. Or I also know broken English. Now this is I have a lot of side journey, but this is a funny one. We were riding in a taxi in Dubai, and in Dubai a lot of folks speak English, but they're a little broken English, and a lot of them are actually, obviously from the Middle East, but a lot of them are from India. And so the two of the other ministers with me, both of them, while we were riding the taxi, you get in the taxi, and they're always asking, no one's from Dubai, in Dubai. I mean, everyone's from somewhere else. So the first question is, where are you from? I'm from Pakistan. And then so this one guy who travels all over the place, he's been here, been there. But it's funny because he changes into the same dialect. They're speaking the same broken kind of English. I'm like, you're not helping the guy's English because you're speaking just like him. And I asked him, I said, do you guys know? I mean, I've been here with you 3 days, and every time that you start speaking, do you do that on purpose? It's kind of like whenever you, it's interesting how when we have a lot of folks that are disabled. In fact, if you're speaking to someone who's blind, a lot of times you actually raise your voice and speak louder to someone's blind. Which really makes no sense because if you lose, they say that you actually have better hearing whenever you lose your sight because you have to depend on your hearing. But, if you're ever, obviously I understand if you're around someone that's hard of hearing, we always speak louder because they're harder hearing, and then you have people like me who act like I'm hard of hearing just because I just want to bug you. I didn't listen. I just didn't want to listen, but I did anyway. But I don't really want to act like I listened, so I'll just make you say it again. It's interesting, how people do that. I won't know what that had really to do with my sermon, but it's interesting. But our God supplies more than enough, amen. And all we have to do is believe that. So you know what? Next time that these folks go on a trip, why don't you believe God not just for the money to go, but enough money to buy a fast lane pass or enough money so I can actually buy food at a theme park because it's expensive. Right. That's the deal is, let's not just, limit God. But now, my best-selling book, The Power of God. In the book, I talk about some golf clubs that I wanted. Now, interesting part about it, I only really was believing God for the irons. And if you don't know about golf, the irons I used to say the irons are the metal ones, but now the woods are actually metal too. I know it sounds really weird that woods are metal, but they're called metal woods. But anyway, unlike Tiger Woods, who uses metal woods. They're more alloy, I guess, some titanium, and it's as big as the moon. I mean, like on some of them, maybe not that big, but they're pretty big. But anyway, so I wanted some new golf clubs, but I really just wanted some new irons because I actually had a pretty good driver, and I believe God for some irons. Now, interesting part about it is the way that God actually ended up blessing me was I won a putting contest and won $500 at a putting contest. Now, see, whenever I'm believing God for something, I always, in this particular situation, I had the cash to go buy the irons. Now, the problem is my wife didn't want to buy new golf clubs. And that becomes an issue. You know, just because I wanted to buy new golf clubs and she didn't want to buy new golf clubs, then, you know, so I just believe, God, that I'm going to have money coming in aside from, you know, from my, you know, normal income. So I said, you know, anytime anyone gives me money, I'm going to put those, I'm going to assume that's how you want me to receive it from my golf club. But you know what? If God, if you want to lay it on someone's heart just to take me to the shop and buy me those things, I'm okay with that. I'm okay, you know, cash, money order, however they want to do it, I'm okay. God, this is exactly how I prayed. I know I'm different than everybody else, but I this is exactly how I told God, just like I'm telling you. God, however you want to do it, I'm open. I'm not going to limit you. I'm not going to tell you who can and who cannot bless me. I don't care. I don't care if you know some leprechaun comes sliding out a rainbow and drops me a pot of gold and, you know, gives me some gold and says, here, go buy a golf club. I'm okay with that, you know. Whatever happens. I'm going to take that. I don't care if I buy magazines and win the Publishers Clearing House sweepstakes. You don't have to buy magazines to enter the sweepstakes, but, you know, they have all kinds of real weird rules because I've done that before. I don't want to buy the magazine, but I want to enter the sweepstakes. And so, you know, you have to write your name backwards on a 3x5 card. And maybe it wouldn't actually was. I take a 3x5 card and write in all capital letters, Publishers Clearing House. That was like, that was how you actually entered. But see, most of you didn't want to pay any magazines. You just sent it back, and you didn't realize you never actually entered because, see, you should have bought the magazines, and that's the easiest way to enter. It was hard to enter the other way, but I read the fine print because I'm a Googleologist. I'm used to reading all kinds of stuff. Anyway, I don't care what I have to do. I don't care if Ed McMahon has a knock on my door. I don't care, you know, I'm okay with that, and we all should be okay with that. But, you know, a lot of times we limit God. In fact, I found out a lot of times when people, especially when it comes to finances, people like to limit God to people who've blessed them before. Well, Lord, lay it on you know, Aunt Jane's heart again to bless me. You know, or whoever. You know, maybe you have, you know, a friend who has a lot of money or whatever, or whatever, or, you know, I don't know, but, you know, I didn't limit God. So here's the deal is I won that $500. I needed $800. And, man, it was my birthday week came by, and people that I don't know, I'd hardly know, they actually gave me quite significant amounts of money for my birthday. Before it was all said and done, I bought me a new set of irons. I bought me a new bag. I bought me new shoes, golf shoes, all right? And then even though I had some good set of driver or whatever that were fairly new, but they weren't brand new, I had enough money to go out and buy all those brand new. I even bought some new golf balls and a golf glove. So, you know, only problem, I didn't buy enough golf balls. I needed more golf balls. I didn't buy any golf tees, but, you know, but I always get those all the time. In fact, thank God my sister got married. Today's her birthday. But my sister got married, and for whatever reason, her and her husband decided to give away golf tees with their wedding date on there. I mean, for years afterwards, I was playing golf with their golf tees because I found a lot of people didn't want their golf tees. And they had them, we all had like little, you know, this was a reception, every hall of tables like this. And after everyone left, I went to every table and blessed myself with their golf tees because I wanted to be a blessing to myself. You know, praise God. So I didn't have to buy tees for a long time. You know, I've eventually ran out of those tees, but over time I also collected other tees, other golf tournaments or whatever. So it's interesting. It's one thing I haven't really bought a whole lot is golf tees. I don't know why. But the fact of the matter is God blessed me with more than what I really wanted. Now I liked it all, but I just really, I was only asking for the irons because that's all I needed. So, I mean, I didn't really need anything, to be honest with me. I had a fairly good set. It was an older set of golf clubs, but they were fairly good golf clubs, but I just wanted it. See, the Bible says that he'll give us the desires of our heart. Amen. You know, a lot of times people actually limit God because, you know, they don't want to believe for something that they can get because, well, but you don't need that. Who says I don't need it? Well, you know, I'm here to tell you these golf clubs, they did not even help my golf game. I thought I would get better overnight. It didn't help. I mean, there was no magic golf club. They just looked better and they were newer. You know, then I felt, you know, I felt that I probably need to get golf lessons. That might would actually help. And, you know, actually, I did take some lessons, and because we had a guy who was in school. The only thing I didn't like about taking golf lessons is he was a golf instructor. He was also a student. I booked an appointment to go train with him, and then he wouldn't let me pay him. Well, I'm like, well, I don't want to book an appointment with you because you're not going to let me pay you. And, you know, he said, well, this is, I don't, he basically said, finally told me and my dad, he goes, I don't have a lot of money right now, but one thing I do is I can give him my time. So I'm like, I was okay with that. So I continued to book lessons with him, and my golf game helped a little bit for a while. But then I got out of practice because I quit playing golf that much. But I'm getting ready to have my yearly golf outing coming up in a couple of weeks. I play in one tournament a year, you know, because that's all I can stand. Oh, anyway. But God blessed me with everything that I needed and the things I didn't need. Why? Because I'm God's favorite. He loves me that much. And he wants me to have that. Now, here's something else that, you know, too, sometimes that we, for whatever reason, you know, we look at, like a lot of people looked at that. Well, we've gotten that fast lane pass and, you know, said, well, you just gave the money. So if you give money, if I give money, God's going to love me more. No, he doesn't. See, they get this misnomer. In fact, I found out a lot of times when people need healing, they come to the church and they give money. You know, and I tell people all the time, if you want to bless the church, that's fine. But it's not going to make you healed any faster. Now, there are some people, and one guy told me, quite honestly, well, I haven't been a giver like I should. Now, but, you know, God had blessed them, and he hadn't given to the church or whatever. But you know what? You shouldn't give because you feel bad either. You know, anyway, you shouldn't even feel bad because God loved a cheerful giver. So you should at least be happy about it. Now, I'm joking, but kind of being semi-serious. You know, but the fact of the matter is, and you know, if you read your Bible, you know, most of you know our keynote scripture, Mark 11:23, it was a scripture that my grandfather came off the deathbed on. It doesn't say, if you give unto this mountain, it's going to be removed. It doesn't say that. It says, if you say. In fact, it doesn't even say, if you pray into this mountain. It says, if you say it. Because I've heard people think, well, I don't give enough, so God's not going to put me in the fast lane. Or I can't afford that. I have to give more. Or I don't pray enough. Or I'm not a good enough Christian. But see, these are all excuses that the devil puts in your head. That's right. You know, that in fact, sometimes the devil will tell you, well, you're not worthy. We don't have to be worthy. Because we're not worthy. But praise God, you know, Jesus didn't come for the people who are worthy. He comes for people who are unworthy. You know, I found that if you read your Bible, look at the Old Testament, that God always had a tendency to use the people that you wouldn't think he would use. So that's why I knew God could use me, because, you know, being the less likely, God can use you. And in fact, if any of you really knew my grandfather, like I knew my grandfather, he was a very shy man. He you know, it was interesting because people would see him minister to a lot of folks, and they're thinking, well, this must be, you know, guy's out. You know, he must have a lot of charisma, like to be around people. No, he'd rather be in the corner. In fact, if he didn't really know you, it was hard for him to hold a conversation with you. In fact, some people think, you know, actually almost think he was a little rude because it just, you know, he verbal skills and thing. Now, verbal skills were great when he was ministering, but it wasn't, you know, he wasn't around a lot of folks or whatever. And, you know, he just, everyone's different. Now, me and my dad will talk to a wall. You know, that's why Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall, because we were talking to it. And you know, I'll talk to anyone, and you know, because I believe, I don't care who you are, I don't care where you came from, I'm willing to talk to you, but because, you know, God's the respecter of persons. And I, you know, I believe the Bible says we can be all things to all people. And God has put me before some great men, and put me before some men who don't have it so great. But you know what? We treat them all the same. We love them all the same. Because Christ loves them the same. You know, but now there is sometimes we talk differently. You know, I can be a little more intelligent when I talk to someone who has a lot of money and they're more proper. And sometimes I don't be proper just because I'm myself, because I'm Craig and I like to be improper. I don't do anything inadequate wise, but you know I'm not a prim and proper type guy, and that's okay. God loves me anyhow. But sometimes people even think if I pray the right way, Our Father which art in heaven, you know, and we put on this. It's funny when you ask people to pray, when a group of people, a lot of times they put on this real professional voice, like, I didn't tell you to get on the radio and pray, you know. What God can't understand your voice? You know, you have to have a voiceover for God. I mean, you know, and that's, you don't, I think God loves me where I'm at. I think he hears me the way I talk. I don't care how bad it is or how good it is. I think God understands. And in fact, God understands my heart. I mean, you know, he knows who I am. And, that, you know, a lot of times, you know, we as Christians, we judge people. We look at someone on the outside, but the Bible says that God doesn't look at outward appearance. He looks at your heart. Right. You know, and a lot of times, you can't judge somebody's heart. Right. Now, maybe on the outside, it looks like, well, they're a bad dude, or they're this, or they're that, or, a lot of times, just because a lot of bad things happen to somebody doesn't mean that they intentionally wanted all that to happen. You know, and just because someone, you know, everything happened doesn't mean they're a bad person. I mean, they got tangled up with some bad stuff. They got in over their head. You know what? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God at some point in time. We've all made mistakes. We've all made bad choices. We've all been around the wrong people. We listened to the wrong thing and got ourselves in a mess. But you know what? God loves you even when you're a mess. And you know what? Some people think, well, once I clean my mess up, I can come to church. Well, that's because a lot of churches won't accept you if you're a mess. You know, but Jesus had those same kind of people. They were called the Pharisees. The Pharisees were all about the law, and if you don't do everything right, we're going to talk about you. You know what? Jesus bothered the Pharisees because they didn't like, because sometimes, that you know, Jesus healed people when it wasn't the Sabbath, when it was a Sabbath day, that wasn't good. Now, don't tell the person who got healed that wasn't good, because they actually kind of enjoyed that. You know, but the deal was that there was a spirit of the law. There was, they were all caught up as, and they're the ones that thought, well, this message is just for us Jews. But now it's turned around a lot of times to come to the church, well, this message is just for us. You come from the alley. It's not for these biker people. These people look weird. And people come in with all these tattoos and nose rings. I mean, that's not for you. You guys are weird. No, God's message is for everybody. Amen. For everybody. And it doesn't matter what they look like, what they seem like, or that they're not perfect. At one time, you probably weren't perfect either. In fact, you're probably not perfect now. You just people that think you are. You know, but the thing about it is we don't have to be perfect because we're blessed. And, you know, there is no respecter of persons. You don't have to. So if you want to get in the fast lane, all you have to do is decide, I'm just going to get in. You don't have to give any more money. You don't have to pray more. You just decide, you know what? God loves me and he wants me in the fast lane. Amen. He wants me. He doesn't want me waiting around. You know, He gave me these blessings. He wants me to partake of these blessings. And the only way to partake of the blessing is, you know, get the full access pass. You know, and you can walk in and say, I got the blood of Jesus, so I get to get to the front of the line. Amen. Now, interesting part about the, you know, this is actually really what happened. Here we are at the theme park. We have the fast pass lines, you know, and so we didn't really have to wait. Basically, what happens is you get to go ride a roller coaster. Anyone ever rode a roller coaster before? You know, three of you. All right. Well, they have the roller coaster landing area. I'm not sure what the official name is, but that's Craig's name for it. And there's little things. And so usually there's like two or three groups lined up before. So, but we get to go right up to the little landing area. So we still have to wait for two or three people. And so we got on this one coaster, one of the better coasters. We were we were fixing to get on board, and you know, we already had bypassed the hour line already, or however long it was. And all of a sudden, some people come up from the exit area, and this one lady was hurt, and she was in a wheelchair, and she had five other folks with her. You know, I said, you know what? That's a good way to make friends. You know, you're in a wheelchair. Let me hang out with you today. Let's ride all the good coasters and stuff like that. Because I found out they didn't have to buy any fast passes or any kind of stuff. They actually stopped the ride, brought them out, put them on the first car. Now, if you ever run a roller coaster, the first car that you have to wait like for 10 extra people because everyone wants to, you know, they put them in the very first seat of the roller coaster. Because they were hurting, because they came in a wheelchair. And then their party, they took, there was this, the way this cluster was lined up, there was two, there were six seats. We were in the third thing, because I didn't want to wait for the very front one. So they bumped us to let the people that were hurting ride in the front. And then I started thinking about, you know what? Jesus, when he sees people are hurting, he not only helps them, he puts them in the best place. You know, they could have put them in the middle there because, you know, it would have been more fair. You know, these people are waiting. You know, there's other people waiting for the front car. Or they might at least say, hey, what car do you want to ride in? Well, you know, but that, no, they put them up front because that should be the better ride. More thrilling, supposedly. But you know what? When we come to Jesus and we're hurting, he's like, you know what? Maybe you're hurting, but, you know, I want to put you in first place. I want to put you in the best situation. You know, Jesus is there. And I know when we read about the blind man, blind Bartimaeus, and, you know, and if we read, he was not actually preaching. He was going out of the city, and blind Bartimaeus couldn't see, obviously. Didn't have a seeing eye dog, didn't have any way to get to Jesus. The only thing he could do was use his voice. And he began to speak in his best radio voice. Now he began to say, Jesus. Now, he literally said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But basically, he was saying, Jesus, help me. And so many cried, you know, told him to shut up. And he cried louder, Jesus, help me. But when Jesus finally heard the man calling, it said, you know, he was walking out of the city, you know, with his entourage. You know, everywhere Jesus went, there were a lot of people around. Because that's what the Bible says. Because everyone was interested in being around him. And so when he was walking out of the city and he heard this, you know, this man calling, it said he stood still, he stopped. You know, and that's what our Lord stops whenever he hears the call of faith. And he's ready, willing, and able to help you at any point in time. He's you know, we have his full attention. And the Bible says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, we don't have to put on our best you know, clothes. We don't have to put on our best shoes. We don't have to give our best offering. I mean, if you want to be a giver, it's okay to be a giver. You know, there is a law of giving and receiving. But the fact of the matter is, you know, just because I don't give an offering does not keep me from being able to get God's best. God loves me that much. All right? You know, but the fact of the matter is that we can all just come boldly to the throne. You know, because these folks, they didn't even wait. They didn't walk through the main line. They walked up the exit aisle. Now, I happen to know because I actually one time, too, went to a couple of theme parks. The best time you ever go to theme parks is whenever, you know, I had a broken leg. I was on crutches, but that day I was in a wheelchair. And I found out how awesome it was to have free access because, you know, nowadays, like we spent good money to buy this Fastlane pass. They didn't even get a pass and all their friends didn't get a pass and they even had better access than we had. So if you learn, you go, they'll tell you whenever you go guest relations, you can go and you just go through the, you know, exit and they'll come up and they ask you like, you know, why you can't walk or why, you know, there's issues or making sure like I had a broken leg. And they said, well, how long have you had that cast on? They want to make sure I had it long enough and, you know, wasn't doing anything that the doctor didn't allow me to do or whatever. But the fact of the matter is once we satisfied those folks, they said, now what I actually did was, you know, cause I actually didn't like being in a wheelchair cause I felt kind of weird. Motorized wheelchair would be kind of cool, but I would actually, instead of being pushed up through the wheelchair, I actually would hop, you know, take, you know, because I'm on one leg, because the other, and hop up to the front of the line, hop on in the roller coaster, and Everyone that was with me got in too. That was pretty awesome. But you know what? You just walk on up there because, see, the people that are working, they know the rules. Everyone knows the rules except for the people that are waiting in line. They don't know the rules. And, you know, they're like, man, how come these people, I mean, this and that. And they're, you know, in fact, people say, well, you know, I understand letting them go, but they get to bring five other people with them. You know, so moral of the story, you have a hurt friend that can still ride rides. Let's go to the theme park. So anyway, or maybe you just get them healed and wait in line with everybody else. But God wants you in the fast lane. He doesn't want you to have to wait around. He doesn't want you to wait for an hour or two to get a blessing. He wants you to walk right on up and jump in. And so there's nothing more thrilling than getting the blessing from God. I mean, when God meets your needs, it's so awesome. I mean, I was reading on Facebook, someone said, you know, they were just glorifying God. Said, I just paid off my last credit card. So they're debt free. I mean, that's an awesome feeling. I like to know that feeling, actually, to be honest with you. You know, I got some debt I'd like to pay off and working on that. But you know what? It's awesome. But, you know, God doesn't want us to have, you know, he wants us to bless us like that. You know, and it's better than any thrill ride. You know, and whatever you need, whatever you're going through, Jesus already purchased it all when he died on that cross. And he wants you, like I said, he came that we might have an abundant life. He doesn't want us struggling. He doesn't want us depressed. He doesn't want us hurting. But he wants us healthy. He wants us healed. He wants us well. He wants us to live life. You know, if you're not enjoying life, you know, a lot of people, I mean, they're like a bump on a log. I mean, they don't, I enjoy life. I like to enjoy life. I like to have fun. See, I believe in being serious about God, but I also believe in having fun too. You know, I don't think Jesus was a bump on the log all the time, you know. And, you know, I know my grandfather wasn't a bump on the log. In fact, a lot of you, if you really knew him like I knew him, you wouldn't think he was that spiritual. You know, because he was real ornery and stuff like that. And if he really liked it, he liked to pick on you. In fact, he liked to pinch you. He liked to come behind you and like, you know, does that hurt? You know, whatever. And I mean, you know, he liked to have fun, you know, but I'm glad I was able to see that side because, you know, it taught me that we can have fun. Because some people think, well, if I'm not praying or if I'm not doing this or if I'm not doing that, if I'm not lying before the Lord, and I'm talking about in bed, you know, we joke around, I'm going to go lie before the Lord for about 8 hours, you know. No, you know, if I'm not being spiritual, then God doesn't love me or whatever. No, you know, God loves you regardless. And I believe there's a time to be spiritual and there's a time to just have fun. You know, my grandfather liked sports. I mean, he liked to watch sports. You know, and I mean, he liked boxing. Now, not everyone liked boxing. I think it's kind of brutal, but for whatever reason, he liked it. My grandfather also liked to change the channel too. He didn't want to just watch, you know, because, you know, when you grow up poor without a TV, of course, TV wasn't invented that way back then anyway, but even when it was invented, well, first of all, even if you could afford one, it was of the devil, so you can't get one anyway because you don't want to be of the devil. The interesting part about it is all those people that want to be of the devil, they would go stand in the street corner and watch TV at the window because like my dad was talking about, says we couldn't have a TV in our house because it was of the devil. Now I'd go over to Johnny's house and watch it because it was okay. Or we can go watch it on the street corner, you know, at the Montgomery Wards or whatever. So isn't it kind of weird? Yeah. So if it's really of the devil, we're going to go, you know, I'll be around the devil and watch TV. Now, I understand sometimes, you know, TV is not of the devil. The internet's not of the devil, but sometimes it is of the devil because it takes your time away from God sometimes. Where we could be spending some time with God. I mean, it's okay to have fun too, but you know, sometimes I found out that the television or the younger generation, it was the game systems and all stuff like that, you know, was the biggest hindrance to their prayer life. You know, and you know, I'm not saying, like I said, we don't have to pray all the time, but you know, we do need to spend some time with God. God wants to find out who you are. You know, and He wants to commune with you. He wants to speak with you. You realize that was the whole purpose of man being created from the beginning? Was to commune with God? Was to talk to God? You know, and it's not a one-way conversation. Sometimes the only way we talk to God is whenever we ask him. You know, we want to ask him for this. God, you know, I ran out of soap. I need this, or I need that, or I ran out of this, or I ran out of that. You know what? God just sometimes wants you just to come and talk to him and thank him and hang around him. You know, but we can also have fun as well. Amen. But God wants you to be in the fast lane. Because he's not going to get around this. I mean, it's going to take a long time for these other people to spend some time with him. But you know what? We can just go right there and get on the ride. Man, if you've been waiting around, if other people have been passing you by and you've been sitting there waiting, it's time for you to get up and get with God. You know, I found out, like us, when as long as we were waiting, we weren't getting any closer to getting in the fast lane. We had to make a decision to get out of the line. Some of you make a decision to get out of your comfort zone. Some of us say, well, I've done it for 38 years this way. It's comfortable. You know what doesn't mean, just because it's comfortable doesn't mean it's the best. Sometimes you need to get out of your comfort zone. You know, the Bible says the willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. Now, my grandfather, you know, talked about one time, he said, well, Lord, you called me to do this and called me to leave my church and go and travel, and I've been obedient to do it, and I'm not eating the good of the land. He says, yeah, you're being obedient, but you're not willing. He was doing it, you know, not because he wanted to. He was doing it because he felt he had to. He felt that, you know, that God was almost punishing him or whatever. He said, you know what? I got willing really quickly, he said. And sometimes we need to quit complaining about this and just be willing. And what? It's okay. You know, there are times things happen in my life that I didn't plan for them to happen. But you know what? God's still God. And I found out a lot of times that we as humans were so busy trying to figure out what we did wrong and why we got to this situation that we're not trying to get out of our situation. Sometimes people don't even, you know, they're like, well, Lord, what did I do? How did I miss it? Forget about what you did and develop a plan to do what you need to do. And sometimes you're just going to get up. I found that when you get knocked down, the first thing you have to do is get up. You know, they tell you, if you fall off a horse, get back on the horse. You know, if you tried something and didn't succeed, see, you're only a failure if you quit trying. We sit here today with light bulbs because Thomas Edison decided not to give up. I mean, you know, what if 999 times, you know, said, man, I've been at this thing for 3 years, and this is where I can't get this done right, and you realize one decision, because I don't know, maybe somebody else would have invented a light bulb later on. But what if no one ever did? So, you know, you've heard about the dark ages, but think about it. We're all going to walk, sit in the dark because one guy gave up. Don't give up. Don't quit trying. You know, don't develop the failure mentality. Well, I failed. No, you're not a failure. But I didn't succeed. But it's not over. It's not over. I don't care how many times you fail. I don't care how you feel. I don't care sometimes that everyone else tells you you're a failure. See, I'm not going to define myself whatever people say. It's not about what they say. Sometimes we look at people and say, well, that guy's a failure. You know what? Walt Disney was a failure. He was a failure. Failed many times. Went bankrupt, I think, 7 times or whatever. But you know what? Ultimately, he succeeded in building one of the biggest empires in the world, all based on a mouse. You realize, of course, the man had a lot of imagination, you know, and he kept dreaming, and he kept trying. You know, that wasn't really part of my message, but I believe that there's some of you here that you felt like a failure for a long time, and it's time for you to quit failing and start succeeding. You know, and the way you have to do that, first of all, is change your attitude. Don't act like a failure. Don't wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm a failure. Because a lot of times, you know, it's bad enough we have enough people telling us we're a failure. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, we can't help what other people say because, you know what, we live in America. They can say whatever they want to say. We have freedom of speech, all that kind of stuff. You know what, but you don't have to say it. You have to change your own attitude. But you see, what happens is, don't let your past determine your future. You determine your future. And you know, if you know who you are in Christ, and you know that you have Christ on the inside, your future is bright. You know, the reason we fail in the past, because we didn't rely on the greater one that's with us to help us succeed. Because the Bible says, when you're weak, he's strong. And I don't mean to be harping on this, but I really feel like there's one or more of you that are, maybe it's temporary or whatever, but you've been feeling like a failure. You feel like nothing you do succeeds. And everybody else just goes by you in the fast lane. Everybody else is getting in, and you're just sitting there existing. Man, when people exist and they lose happiness and they lose joy, you know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Man, that we lose purpose, but what happens is, you know, we lack vision. We don't realize that Jesus didn't die on the cross for us to be miserable. I mean, I take it seriously when he was there and said, Lord, for being any other way, this is not going to be fun for me. I mean, it wasn't fun for him to be sacrificed on a cross. It wasn't fun for him to take the stripes on his back. But it wasn't about being fun. It was, you know, he wasn't at Worlds of Fun. He took all that pain and all the agony. You know, we some of you that remember Wild World Sports, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. He took the agony of defeat so that you could have the thrill of victory. Amen. Do you understand? Jesus was defeated only temporarily. Because it looked like he was defeated, but ultimately that was the plan, to change all mankind. So quit being a failure. Jesus didn't die for a failure. He died to tell you you're not a failure. That you can do it. You can make it. You can do all things through Christ. The future's bright. Man, I don't care where you're at. I don't care that you feel like things are a mess. You know, quit looking at the mess and start looking at Jesus. You know, the little song, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. You know what? When you get to times and you know, you're looking and saying, man, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? I mean, how, you know, just to say, you know what? I'm going to put it in Jesus' hands. He's the answer. He'll figure out a way. See, the deal is, you got to quit trying to figure it out yourself and start relying on God. Because once you decide, you know what, I'm going to fully, the Bible says to trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to how you understand things. Some people say they don't understand. I always say, you know, when you get to the point where you don't understand, you've got it. Just don't dwell on what you don't understand. Only dwell on, I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. See, it's not about your understanding, it's about the Lord. It's not about what you know. You know, we all want to be a know-it-all. We all want to know a lot of things, but there's sometimes we don't know. Just being willing to admit, I don't have to know, because I don't, sometimes, you know what, you know, some people say, I don't want to be in the know, but we all want to be in the know. We all want to know how it works. I mean, that's just the way, we want to figure things out how it works, but you know what, because of the figure-out mentality, we have learned not to let God do it because we're trying to figure it out. You know, this is what we do. We don't say this, but really what we do is we go through a situation and we say, God, let me work on it for a while. If I need your help later on to figure it out, then I'll call you in. Now, see, actions speak louder than words. Maybe mentally we're saying, well, Lord, here's my problems, take them all. But we're this happens sometimes. I've seen people, bosses, I've seen, people, they'll give an employee something to do, and then the boss will do it too. Well, why? So you don't have any really trust in your employee because you told them to do it, and you're doing it. So if you're going to let God do it, then you've got to quit trying to do it yourself too. So a lot of us say, well, God, I want you to do this for me. Oh, well, you're trying to figure it all out. If you're trying to figure out that, then you're trying to say that, in your own mind, you're trying to say, well, your God is not big enough to figure it out on his own. But I serve the El Shaddai. I serve the Almighty God who's more than enough. And I don't mean to be going long tonight, but I was fixing the clothes right there, and I just really felt that there was one or two, or maybe it wasn't even for right now. Maybe you're fixing to face something in the near future where you feel like a failure. But I want you to remember today. If you ever go into the time and you're feeling depressed, I want you to remember how good God is and how much he loves you. And I want you to remember that you're always a success when you know who holds your future. Amen. Amen. Enjoy life in the fast lane. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person here. And Father God, for that one or the many who may need that word today or maybe in the future, Father, we thank you that that word will not return void. But Father God, that word will stay with them all the days of our life, because sometimes we don't remember these words whenever we're going through issues. We don't remember how good our God is. But Father God, help us to understand that you love us so much, that you sent your son Jesus to die for us, that he sacrificed himself so that we can have a more abundant life. And help us understand that we don't have to stand in line, but we can walk boldly up to the throne and we can ask and we can receive liberally, a full supply. And Father God, help us not to lean to our own understanding, but help us understand that we can trust in you and that you always meet our needs, that you're always on time, that you're always for us, that you're never against us, that you love us that much. Help us understand that we're always your favorite, and we shouldn't be ashamed by having to come to you to ask, because you're always there, ready, willing, and able to help us. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you right now, if anyone is here that doesn't know your son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place tonight without a know-so experience. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never been born again, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure you don't leave this place without that saving knowledge of Christ. Or maybe here tonight and you say, Craig, I know what it is to be born again. And one time I walked in these things, but I've kind of turned my back and I've went away, and I want to come back publicly and proclaim that I'm rededicating my life to Christ. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I'm born again. I know I'm born again. I know I have a ticket to heaven. But you guys have talked about another experience called the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and with evidence of speaking in tongues. And I've never got that experience. I've heard about it, but I've been curious about it, but I've never received that. I tell you what, there's nothing like the infilling. You can make it to heaven without the infilling of the Holy Ghost, but man, it's just so much easier here on the earth to have that presence. So maybe here you want that experience. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure you have everything that God has for you. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you right now. If anyone is here that's not saved, we thank you, Father, that you'll send laborers across their path. We thank you, Father, that they won't be able to have any kind of peace whatsoever until they come to the saving knowledge of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Before we're dismissed, Anthony, can we sing just a little bit of Jesus is the Answer? Because I believe we need to proclaim that, and not just tonight, but all the time. Let's all stand up. And I want you to sing this little chorus of, Jesus is the Answer.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other.
Thank you, Father.
Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer. answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Oh, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Amen. I want you to remember that little song sometime whenever you're facing things and you're trying to figure out how you're going to do it. First of all, quit trying to figure out how you're going to do it and let God. I always say let go and let God. You know, remember that Jesus is the answer. Some of them are looking for an answer we already have. Because, you know, if we've been born again, that the answer lives on the inside of us. And we're trying to solve a problem that we have the answer for. But see, we can't see the answer because all we see is our problems. Well, you know what? Quit making those problems your problems. You know, I found out that a lot of times people carry their problems with them all the time. You know, they carry them, you know, around. And, you know, I know we've probably all been in services and we, you know, always cast your problem on the Lord's service. And I believe sometimes if people bring them up to the altar, they leave them here. After we're dismissed, they come back, pick up their suitcase and walk on out the door. You know, maybe they don't physically do it, but you know what? If we've given our problem to God, and you know, then what happens is the next day or 2 days later, whenever you're reminded about your problem, we start trying to focus on what are we going to do? What are we going to do? But we just had to give your problem to Jesus meeting 2 days ago, and you're trying to figure out, see, so what happens a lot of times, we do things because the preacher tells us to or whatever, but we didn't really give him our problems. We just signified we did. But in order to do that, we have to realize that when the opportunity comes to have problems again, we need to realize that, you know what, Mr. Devil, I'm not going to have those problems anymore because Jesus is the answer and I've already gave it to God. You know, my grandfather was always good about, you know, a lot of times, you know, the devil comes to still kill and destroy, and saying, you know what, I don't have to walk in that. I don't have to. The Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from us. I don't have to listen to that. You know, he even will say, I don't have the answer, but praise God, I know the one who does. I don't have to know. Because I'm in the know, I'm in the right place, the right time. But you know what? One thing that Jesus was the answer and is the answer for was our healing. And if anyone here tonight and you have sickness and disease in your body, I don't care how small, I don't care how big, I don't care if you have a headache, I don't care if you have a cold, I don't care if you have cancer. If you have sickness right now in your body, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. I mean, I don't want you to walk out of this place sick. You know what? I don't want you to have to go to work tomorrow and say, well, I'm sick. I'm sick of people being sick. You know, because Jesus died on the cross so that we could be healed. He took stripes on his back so that we would be healed. So if anyone's here, I don't care how big or how small, come down here. Don't be embarrassed, because nothing to be embarrassed about. Nothing to be embarrassed about getting, you know, blessed from the Lord. And we've had so many testimonies right here from this tiny little church. You know, we have so many testimonies how God has healed them. How many of you are here tonight, you know, when you came down at some point in time and God's healed you? Raise your hand. See, right there, you know, it's awesome. It's awesome. I mean, it's almost every week that we stand at the door and someone's giving me another testimony, how they came forward and how the doctor said this and how the doctor said, you know, and they didn't need this, they didn't need that. Praise God. You know, one thing that really helps me is there are times, as with you, there are times that sometimes we get down on ourselves. And there have been times, you know, when things just seem to be falling apart or whatever, or having a bad day. You know what? It's amazing. Almost every time I get to one of those points in times that I'll open an email and somebody will give me a testimony how they were ministered to through my ministry. I'm like, you know, praise God. praise God. It's worth it all. Sometimes people say, you know, they wonder, how do you do this? How do you keep going all the time? How do you go halfway across the world and back and then back again and this and that and everything else? Well, praise God that God has been able to bless us. But you know what? You know, we do it for God. Man, we do. You know, I always say, if I go halfway around the world, you know, to see one person healed and one person saved, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it because you know what? That's what we're here for. We're here to help people. And I want to encourage you to take the words that you hear, you know, tonight and all the time, and be a blessing to people that are around about you, your neighbors, your friends, your loved ones, people that you don't even know, and be a blessing to them. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. I want you to know that He cares about you. And I want you to do a couple of things. First of all, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think about Jesus Christ in your healing. I want you to know that Jesus loves you so much. I want you to know that He cares about you. And I'm going to say a little prayer here. And then I'm going to lay my hand on your head. And I don't know what I'm going to say. Something probably like be healed. But I want you to know the healing power of God will flow into your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And you're going to feel that. As soon as you feel it, say, there it is. That's mine. I take it now. And from that point on, you're going to feel a difference. You're going to see a difference. Father God, we just thank you right now for your healing power of God. And we thank you, Father, as we lay hands upon these precious folk. Father God, we thank you, love them so much. And we thank you, Father, that healing power will penetrate their lives. And we thank you, Father, that it will drive out whatever Satan's been trying to do. We thank you, Father, for a complete healing. We thank you, Father, for a testimony that we shall hear and that we shall see. And we just give you the praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. That's it. The healing power of God right now is working in your body. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, touching your body. And in the name of Jesus. That's it right now. That's it right there. Let him do a work. Relax and let God be God. Let him show you how good he is. Let him show you how much he loves you. Let him just do a work in your life. And you can have a testimony. You have a testimony to be able to share with others how good God is, how he touched your body, how he healed you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. That's it right there. God loves you so much. He loves you so much. He's touching you. He's healing you. He's making things anew. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Use this for us. All right. All right. Father God, we just thank you for Ray. We thank you for his life. And Father, we thank you right now as we lay hands upon this cloth. We thank you, Father, that as we take this back, as Bill takes us back to Ray, Father, we thank you that healing power of God will flow into his life. And we thank you, Father, that you'll touch his heart. We thank you, Father, that you're making things anew. We thank you, Father, for everything you're doing in Ray's life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And Father God, we just pray especially on Bill, Father. Father God, we thank you as he's an instrument to go out and touch people, that you're just using him mightily. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Hey, can you get a prayer cloth for us? All right. Okay. We'll pray for this cloth, and we'll get another for what's your friend's name? Father God, we just thank you for Lynn. Father, we just thank you for her life. And Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you as she takes the cloth back, that the healing power of God will flow into her body. And we thank you, Father, that it will touch Lynn's life and touch her body. And from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, we thank you that this cancer will be gone. We thank you, Father, that you're driving out whatever the devil's trying to do. And Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that this cloth will be a blessing to them. And Father God, we just thank you for everything you're doing in her life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay.
Father God, we thank you for Tiffin. We thank you, Father, right now. First of all, devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're a liar. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we command the healing power of God to work in his body and in her body. Father, we thank you right now that you're touching this body. We thank you, Father, that you're driving out these things. We thank you, Father, that you're just being a blessing to her, Father. And Father God, we thank you that you'll be there with her and her family. And we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. And help Quinnell be a blessing to them. And help her be able to say the things she needs to say and do the things she needs to do to be a blessing. And Father God, we thank you that you'll get all the glory and all the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm sorry today we went a little longer than normal. We try to always get right around 7:30 or so, but you all stayed, so it's good. But I just really feel tonight that either, like I said, either someone's been going through this or there's something around the corner. And see, you know what? It's a whole lot better to beat defeat before it even happens. See, what happens is that we... My grandfather always said this. You know, many of you who read his books or heard his testimony, he would talk about he hadn't had a headache in since August of 1933. You know, 60-something years. He would say it's too late to start having a headache now. But if you actually talk to him, because I actually asked him and said, so you're telling me, I call him Papa, that you've never, your head's never hurt, you know, since 1933? He said, "Oh no, I've had head pain." He said, but see, he always, you see, it would come, but he would come against that head pain. He decided, "No, you can't dwell in my body. It's too late for you to dwell in my body." He always say this: "I passed up many marvelous opportunities to have a headache." What he was saying was, sometimes his head would hurt, but you know what? A lot of times that we accept something because what's the first thing we do when our head hurts? Oh, I have a headache. So you just accepted something. You just took a hold of something. But he would always say, I'm not going to take this symptom. So the devil's like, see, the devil will try to put something on you. Doesn't mean you have to take it. Doesn't mean you have to reach out and take a hold of it, you know. And I understand, you know, that you know, and like a lot of times when people come and they need healing, I'll ask them, say, I don't want a faith thing, but I want you to give me the facts on what's wrong with you. I understand that. You know, I understand, you know, telling someone the facts, you know, I've been diagnosed with cancer or whatever. But a lot of times, you know, we walk around and say, well, I have cancer, or this person, you know, they have. But we have what we say we have. You know, I've done that a lot of times with people for a long time. I always would say, well, I have bad knees or my knees hurt because of some sports injuries or whatever. You know what? I decided one day that I didn't want to have my knees hurt. I don't have to have bad knees. Well, but you injured yourself. You had sports injuries. You played ball and it's wear and tear. But so just because I battered my own body doesn't mean I have to hurt. Maybe I can not accept that marvelous opportunity to have bad knees. You know, and I mean, it was just simply one day. I used to have to follow around with my grandfather. If you have YouTube, you've probably seen. If you YouTube my grandfather, you're going to see me standing behind him, you know, holding him up. You know, in different kinds of services and all kinds of things. I mean, you know, you'll see laughing services, all kinds of stuff. And it's interesting part about it is, you know, but a lot of times in the healing line, because of the way a lot of our arms are, I'm like, I have one foot on this one stair, another foot on this stair. Remember, I have bad knees. My knees are hurting. I have all this stuff. And I'm out of balance. I'm thinking, if he falls, I'm in trouble because I'm, you know. And so I was hurting so bad one day. You know what? In the middle of the healing line, I said, I'm tired of having bad knees. You know, because I accepted because of football injuries. I love football. You know, and it was worth it all. But, you know, and some basketball things that I'm not going to accept a bad name. But why do we accept things that we don't have to have? You know, and I don't mean to preach another sermon here. But you know, right there in the middle of the healing line, the other people getting healed. I'm over here with bad knees hurting.
trying to be a help, you know, and trying to, you know, make sure that, so, a lot of times when it comes to people, you know, if you're not around the healing line thing, sometimes it's not the power, sometimes it's the power of God. Sometimes people pull you down. A lot of times whenever you're praying for people, you know, they're going to fall down and they reach up and grab you and try to pull you down. Not on purpose. They're just don't know what they're doing. And so that's why we were there to, you know, help, you know, make sure. And my grandfather, you know, he wasn't very good about balancing himself. If he starts to fall, you know, if he didn't have someone helping him, he's going to fall. A couple times I dropped him, you know, but not. Only one real time that I wasn't paying attention. A couple times I just couldn't keep him up because of other things, you know. But I always make sure if he's going to fall on top of me and so not anybody else. So that way I'm under the pile and so I'm trying to break his fall. But you know what? I had my bad knees, and I was standing, you know, and the interesting part about it, I've been doing it for years with my bad knees and hurting. You know, I played some catcher for a while. I had to quit playing catcher because my knees hurt too much. But you see, we make excuses. You know, quit making excuses. You know what? Let go and let God. Amen. I don't want to preach again. I'm going to go. Don't forget next week, you know, we're having a food fellowship. Easiest time ever to bring somebody to church. Hey, come for food. Man, you know, especially if you know a lot of single folks, you know, they're really, especially single guys, because, you know, not all single guys can cook. You know, and so, you know, well, you know, you cook me, you know, maybe like my dad, he's a gourmet chef. You know, his favorite meal that if my dad ever has a cook himself. You know, it's funny because there's been times that my mom is out of town or doing something. My dad goes home, and so I know if he's going to cook himself, he's going to make his famous meal, SpaghettiO Surprise. Now I'm not sure what kind of surprise, because he opened the can of SpaghettiOs, and what it is it's a really hard recipe. I'll give recipe. You take SpaghettiOs. Now he likes SpaghettiOs with Franks. I have to like meatballs. Put SpaghettiOs in a bowl, take some Velveeta cheese, put it on top, put it in the microwave. You know, let cook for 2 minutes or whatever they tell you to do it, and there you go, SpaghettiO Surprise, my dad's favorite meal. That's his gourmet chef of a meal. So, and almost every time, if my mom's out of town, I always say, hey, you want to go to dinner or whatever, and I'll let you pay, because, you know, and I'll enjoy it. I'm just kidding. I pay sometimes. He don't let me pay usually, because he gets mad at me if I try to pay, because I'm younger, so I shouldn't pay. You know, but you know, I don't mind blessing my parents. You know, they've been a blessing to me, and they always try to pay for me. You know, but you know, if he goes home and says, someone says, I'm just going to go home and say, what, eat SpaghettiO Surprise? Yeah. So it's a health food, you know, meal. So I know some of you maybe didn't realize he's not a health nut, but probably didn't realize that by looking at him. All right, God bless you guys. Don't forget, next week we're having a fellowship. If any of you are interested, any ladies or any husbands for your wives, interested in maybe information about the women's conference, you can see Heather back there.